This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is for the players, the Pop Culture PlayStation podcast. With close to 40 years playing PlayStation and 5 years in the games media combined, we thought we'd throw our hat into the ring and have the PlayStation conversation. How you been, my friend?
Good, man. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I like this format of show. It takes us back to our roots.
So this is the closest to what we've ever did when we first started with the radio here in Geelong. Like, it's just you and me talking about something, bringing some news in.
Talking about stuff we like.
Yeah, having a tea. Having a tea, apparently.
No,
having a key topic of conversation.
Yeah.
You know, just sort of a bit of just chatting and having a good time.
And some questions, too.
And some good questions from the players as well.
And the people that used to phone in back in the day.
Yeah. That's where people would be like, hey, here's a question. I'm like, thanks very much.
Hey, that's not relevant to what we're talking about.
Yeah. So we've done about 3 episodes of this before this one releases. So we've done a couple of pilots to sort of try get the kinks out. But this is still a work in progress as well. So if you are viewing this, thank you very much. And be sure to comment below. Give us all your details. You know, give us all your details. Yeah, yeah. Like social security number and shit.
Bank card number, yeah. The CCV number on
like
that.
Give us all your thoughts and, you know, and things we can improve on. Because that's certainly something we're going to be looking into.
For sure.
But that's enough of talking about the things we've done in the past. Like the radio.
Yeah, let's get that out of the way.
What have you been playing this week?
Yeah. Still on Persona 5.
What?
How many
hours is that now?
I'm at about 110, I think. I thought I was on the last palace about 30 hours ago, but it has this thing where it just keeps ticking you over and go, nope, there's one more, nope, and they're not hammed in, you know.
But wait, there's more.
They're not hammed in, you know, it does work for the story, it does further the story. But I lost about 3 hours of progress on my last playthrough, just getting in between safe rooms, spent a lot of time exploring, because this is a really big place.
It's like, for me, with most Persona, the safe rooms are like a good 20-30 minutes down
the
road.
Yeah, no, this is a really big place, but there was a lot of cutscenes before it started. So I lost about 3 hours just from getting gibbed by, you know, weak that, AoE attack from a strong enemy, and I was dead.
So the one trick that I use whenever I fight a mob, I'm like, all right, who's weak to what?
Weak, button pass, weak, exactly.
None of them hit me.
Did it to me.
Damn.
And yeah. And something new actually happened in that palace, which I'm not sure if it happens at all through the rest of the game, and I just wasn't lucky enough to fall across it. But your teammates can be taken hostage by the personas, and you have to negotiate to get them back.
What?
Now, I don't know if that's something just in the last palace.
Holy shit.
Or if it runs throughout the game and it just hasn't happened to me yet. But that really took me by surprise.
See, I love the mechanic of them when you get them into like such a point. And they're like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I'm just like, come on, let me go. I think that's really cool.
Lend me your power. Yeah, okay, fine. It's either that or die.
Yeah, and then
the cool thing is when they take your partners hostage, if you're playing online, how you boot up the game, it's like, do you want to be connected to the network? You can call in another group of Phantom Thieves to get them back for you.
Oh, shit.
But you can only use 3 in a day, I think. That's cool. So I'm like, it gives me the options. Do I want to talk? Do I want to bribe, I think? Or do I want to call in the Phantom Thieves? But I thought that meant my backup crew, like the people I wasn't using, like jumping in the fight. Like, everyone's just like, motherfucker, give him back.
Like, beep, beep, beep. No, they'll just run.
But no, it's like, came up with someone's PSN name and what they called their group, and it's like, to the rescue, and then your teammate's back. So I thought that was really cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I'm a bit...
What is the name of your team?
The Inquisition.
Oh.
Pop culturist didn't fit.
Yeah, no, try.
That's it for Persona. What about you? What have you been
playing? So a couple of days ago, we received Prey.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be going up on the Monday. So we got Prey on the Thursday.
Right.
I've spent little time with it right now. It's Saturday for those playing at home. I've spent probably the first like hour or so with it. Pretty much what was in the demo, I guess.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting. It looks good. It doesn't look quite as good as I thought it was. Like in my head, I assumed it was going to be better. I'm curious on where it's going to go. This whole idea of this lone dude on like a space station-y looking thing, apparently. You know, this is like information from what I've seen coming forward. Like, you have those cool little creatures, like the four-legged creatures that might pop into other
like
objects.
Like your TV remote sitting on the couch.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, it's a shadow creature. Ooh.
Like, holy crap, why do I have 2 remotes? Oh! You know?
What's this remote to?
I think that's a really, really cool idea. Like, I'm pretty sure there is a Garry's Mod game on PC where right. you like the whole idea is you hide as an item and all the other guys have to come find you.
Yeah, they scan
the rooms. I think that's a cool concept, but having that as the enemies a bit fun as well.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard just from what I've read online for now, a lot of people are saying it's like the Half-Life 3 we never got.
Yeah,
it has that kind of vibe to the game.
Without a doubt, like it does have that sort of like Half-Life-ish vibe with like a little bit of BioShock in there as well.
Yeah,
like it's really kind of cool. Like I'm digging it
because
I never played the previous Prey either, so it's all brand new to me. And this is apparently some baby just went ballistic in my lounge room.
Do you know you had a baby in the house?
I have a baby. That didn't sound like that though. So like I don't have the attachment to the previous one, and which is handy because apparently this is so drastically different anyway. It's pretty much similar only in name. Right. I think that's really cool.
Cool. I look forward to playing it once you're done with it.
Well, we may have already streamed it.
Stream it.
We may have already streamed about the time to go live.
Timeline's weird, man.
Yeah.
I've also been playing Dear God on the PS Vita.
Yeah, this is an little indie game made by some Australian devs.
It's pitched really well. Story is you are a deer hunter who ends up being, I think, killed and then brought back as a deer.
Yep.
To see, this is what life is like, you know.
This is what you've ruined.
You're a bad dude. This is what you've ruined, and you kind of grow up as the game goes on. I picked it up maybe 5 times with about an hour each playtime, just trying to get because like it's really ambiguous. Doesn't quite tell you what you need to do in a way, which in some games that works because that's how it's set. Just kind of figure it out yourself. But this game really seemed like it needed some kind of direction.
Just a little, like even something simple as like, because it's pretty much like an endless runner from what
I've seen. Pretty much, yeah. But there are NPCs that give you quests along the way and all that, but there's no way to know.
And does the quest just keep running that way?
Yeah, but like, well, I don't know, because the first quest came to me was like, hey, can you help me find my monocle? I'm like, sure. Where the fuck is it? I went all the way back to the start. I ran like 800 kilometers the other way. I don't know where it is. But what really kind of kills it for me, because I think it's a port from the PS4. It's not a good port. Okay. As in, you get really, really noticeable frame rate drops. Every 4 seconds, there's like a half frame rate drop, which makes it, because it's a runner, it's kind of noticeable.
Mm.
And it's really jarring. Like, it really makes you feel unwell after playing it for a certain amount of time.
So, we've had this for a while. Like, we got the code for this probably better part of a month ago, maybe. Yeah. Has there been any patches or anything for it?
No, I loaded it up a couple of days ago. Still no more patches for it. Still running like meh.
Okay.
So I would have been happy to give it more of a push if it wasn't for that frame rate issue, because it really did start to make me feel unwell after a while. So that's unfortunate. But I know you just haven't played Prey this week.
No, speaking of frame rate problems, I've been playing AFL Evolution. So
now we laugh.
Yeah.
But judging from the stream you did of it the night prior to recording this, you had a fantastic time with that game.
Oh, man. AFL Evolution is a ton of fun. Like, if you go into it knowing exactly what it is, like, this is a game made by 50 people, probably, like, I assume in Sydney. Like, the budget, like, there's a reasonable budget. And it's backed by the AFL, which is great. But it's not FIFA-level quality, right?
Yeah, right.
So, the graphics on it do look very late-gen PS3.
Mm-hmm.
But that, what's what you get? Indie team.
Because
is an independent game.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't like, is it FIFA?
It's not EA.
Madden?
Not EA
like,
published.
It's EA published. So EA just throw money at it, right?
Yeah.
So this is like, they've picked and choosed where to put the money and time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of detail in terms of the athletes themselves.
Yeah.
And sort of like their photo scanned a lot of them. So they look awesome, right?
Yep.
As in, that looks like who you expect to look like.
As good as they can on
as
that.
As good
kind,
as they can.
You know, yeah.
You know, and then you've got obviously the main league, then you've got like the NAB Cup, and then you've got like the, you know, VFL,
mm-hmm.
international teams, all of the women's league.
That's cool.
Which is awesome.
Yep.
Because like they tackle just as hard as dudes in this game.
Yeah. So how it looks, and you got all those modes, but how does it play?
So Craig and I spent a majority of the time playing it in the exhibition mode, right?
Craig
is
a recurring friend of ours from the Mullet Show, if you are interested.
Yeah, 9.7 The Pulse, Friday nights, 8 o'clock. Like for us, it was just, we'll pick a team and just play each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
We dived a little bit into the career. I made a guy with bright red hair for no reason.
Of course.
And the career is...
As is custom.
is not that crash hot. Like, you don't get that sort of fast-paced action mm-hmm. you do when you play the game and you're playing the whole team. Only because with AFL, majority of the time, you're standing around with your, you know, dick in your hand.
Just waiting for the ball to get to your
Yeah, and then, like, the whole idea is you have to be on someone, right? And the, yeah. you're forever, like, matched up to that person trying to block them from doing things. So the ball could spend the majority of the time down there.
Right,
like, you know,
I see.
Like, say if you're, like, you know, up in the back, like, if you're, if, you know, the ball...
We don't know football terms. Like, yeah, you, I know there's full forward.
Yeah, and you're hanging out in the full forward, you're hanging out down that way, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's where the wings and shit,
yeah.
like, you'll never come to you.
So you can't switch between... players just, on the field.
You can run wherever you want.
No, but you can't take control of other players on the field.
In the career mode, you can't.
Okay.
In the season game, you can kick and hand pass whoever you want.
Yeah, right.
And that's when it's a ton of fun.
Is it? Yeah, so it's fun. Like, oh, controls are good.
If you go in knowing what the expectations are, you're going to have a great time. You're like, I'm not expecting this to be a big, just high-end game.
Yeah.
It's great fun. Some of the physics when the breaks is the best.
Really?
So like, I saw someone handball through a person's face. I mean, doom.
The commentator's like, he's got a strong handball, that Adam Goods.
And there was like, there was a mark that went.
Like, for those listening to the audio version, won't see that.
It jumped, went backwards in midair, caught the ball and landed.
That's good,
it was clearly set up. Like, you've timed the button press right enough for it to register that you're going to successfully get the mark.
So do you think if this game does well enough, because it seems to actually, regardless of the graphics, it seems to be getting pretty well received.
Well,
do you think, what's the likelihood of EA going, there's something here that we could tap into?
Very zero, really? Very zero is not a sentence. But the answer is very
That's
little.
That's a new shirt slogan.
Very zero. This is one of those things, though. If you are someone that wants to see an AFL game and a good AFL game, you need to pick up this game.
Because you'd have no other options.
We have no other options. And if no one buys this, they're going to be like, well, no one bought it. Like, we're not going to invest the money.
Yeah.
So, granted, it's a little bit steep at $100 right now. Because it's being charged AAA rates for a not AAA game. But if you can pick it up for $60-$70, grab it. Because, is it, if you want to see this, that, you know, that old saying, vote with your wallet.
Mm.
Spend your money where you want. Like, if you want this to happen, give it your money.
Cool. I look forward to playing a game against you at some point.
I think it'll be fun. It's a lot of fun. Like, and the controls are kind of... Because AFL is pretty complicated, you know? And it's fun, because, like, you have to, like, you know, there's a lot of modifiers, a lot of kicking and punching, but...
Like trying to play a UFC game.
Yeah, a little bit. But it's fun to sort of read things that you forget how Aussie they sound. When there's, like, a button for speckies.
Where they put all our terminology in. Oh, of course they
do. Yeah, so, Australian football. And there's one with, like, and we're going through the stats, it's like, clangers? I'm like, what's a clanger? It's like, it's an error. Yeah. Why don't they call it an error? It's like, nah, it's a clanger.
That's cool.
And it's like, bananas? Like, there's everything. Like, there's no, like, fancy terms. It's literally what you, like,
that's cool.
Awesome.
I like it. Well, the final game I've been playing this week, I noticed on the PlayStation store the other day, Darksiders 1 and 2 are bundled in a collection on the PS4 called, I think, the Fury Collection.
Yeah. So we previously have had the Warmastered Edition and the Definitive Edition.
Definitive. There's no F in there.
No,
so they've bundled those two editions together for $24.95.
It's all price.
Still, I thought, wow, I'm going to pick this up because I never played it and it looks cool. It's cool. It's really fucking cool. Like, I don't know why I never played it in the past, because it is the kind of game I'm into, with the whole heaven and hell and angels and demons and all that. The camera is a little outdated and the controls are maybe a little slower than what they should be. But for the era, this is number one I'm talking about. I'll get into number two, of course, when I finish number one. But for the era the game came out, that game would have been incredible, and I really regret not playing it back then.
I think, I could be wrong here, because I've never played the Darksiders game, but I think one of the biggest sort of shortfalls was a little too God of War.
It is, the combat is God of War-y, not... At the moment, there isn't quite so many combos you can do, but you do have your slashing combos. You do have you can uppercut an enemy into the air and slash them in the air and slam them to the ground. There's a few instant kill combos you can do. It's not quite so combo heavy though, but you do get items and abilities that you can use. It's like a MMO, I guess.
Okay,
you get a few abilities you can use it at the same time. Now, as we found out shortly after, or shortly before, the reason Darksiders Fury Collection came, because Darksiders 3 was leaked and then announced, which brings us into the first topic segment of the show.
The first segment of the show. Now, we have decided to give each segment a stupid name.
Yeah.
Because it's fun. And we're aware that it's lame, so calm down.
But it's our shtick.
So this is the news. So in the in the homage to the title that we've got for the show, their new segment is called Inform the Players. Jesus.
We don't have any sound bites to go, so let's make one up. First news topic of this week. THQ Nordic and Gunfire Games have announced that Darksiders 3 is currently in development and scheduled to release sometime in 2018 for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. The game is set to be an open-world action-adventure that includes a focus on exploration and environmental puzzles, and will continue the series staple hack-and-slash combat with new protagonist Fury. It's set around the same time as the events of Darksiders 2, which was released almost 5 years ago, and will follow Fury's quest to destroy unique physical versions of the seven deadly sins.
Cool.
Gunfire Games' development team includes multiple ex-Vigil Games employees who worked on Darksiders and Darksiders 2, including the game director, executive producer, technical director, lead environment artist, and more. Cool.
Cool.
Fucking cool. That's what I was saying about it is, like, the whole... You need to destroy the physical embodiment of the seven deadly sins. So you got gluttony and lust and all. And
I think they're being a little bit liberal with the sins as well, I think.
You reckon?
Yeah. Someone said there was like one that isn't a sin. I can't think.
I'm not that far into it.
No. For Darksiders 3, they've been a little bit loose.
Oh, okay. That's fine. It's more... it's more how it's presented. Yeah, it's that, you know, like Dante's Inferno, I was a big fan of that, the whole hell thing, and Diablo I'm a big fan of because it's heaven versus hell. Like, this is cool and I'm really enjoying it. The environments are really, really nice. It's a lot prettier than I really thought it would have been.
Now, I can't remember, because you think we're playing the remasters, so
I'm playing the remaster. Yeah,
now I can't remember. I may be wrong all the time, so I think this, it was true. Darksiders 2 that had, like, you're in this, like, you have to go through the seven circles of hell.
No, I think you're thinking of Dante's Inferno.
And there was, like, boobs with, like, little baby, the demons pretty, coming out of the boobs.
I think it was Dante's Inferno, because maybe you have to go through the all seven part, the seven corners of hell.
Yeah, I remember coming out, and I remember, like, the being big boobies, and then, like, demons came out of the boobs, and it's like, this is so confusing!
I don't like it, I don't turn it off. So, Darksiders 1 is more hack and slashy, where you play as War.
Cool.
Darksiders 2, you play as Death, and apparently it's more like Zelda style, like puzzles and stuff.
Oh shit.
Still combat, of course.
That sounds awesome.
But it's more puzzle centric, and now it seems like 3 is going to kind of embody the both. So cool.
And I'm so down. With the shutdown of THQ a couple years ago, like, Darksiders was one of those franchises that was thought to probably go by the wayside, right?
Yeah.
I think I can't remember where I read this or where I heard this, but I remember a lot of the developers that did make the original Darksiders went off to do, like, work at Crytek and shit like that, because they thought, you know, everything we've made is gone now.
Yeah,
and a lot of them have come back to Gunfire. Is Gunfire Games or Gunfire Studios?
It is Gunfire Games.
Cool. So they've all gone to Gunfire Games, and I think that's awesome to have all the original people back. You'll get that same vibe.
They're the important people. Like I said, the game director, the executive producer, the technical director, lead environmental artist, and a few more. Like, they're important roles.
Yeah.
So it's, I think.
Box builder, John. John's like, I'm back. Thanks, John.
Just take that out the back for me. Thanks, John. Next news story.
We bought back our caterer.
Yeah, I love buffets. The next news story of the week, number two, the upcoming Shadow of the Colossus-inspired survival game Prey for the Gods, P-R-E-Y, has changed its name to Prey, P-R-A-E-Y, for the Gods, following a trademark dispute with Bethesda, according to the developer. Developer Nomada Studios revealed in a recent newsletter that after some consideration, it has decided that it had to change the game's name, as shortly after applying for the trademark for Prey for the Gods, Bethesda, parent company ZeniMax, allegedly chose to oppose Nomada Studios' mark. According to Nomada, ZeniMax believes the original title is too similar to its trademark for Prey, which was acquired by id Software in 2009. A Bethesda representative provided the following statement to IGN regarding the name change, in a quote, "We really didn't have much of a choice. If we don't oppose the mark, we risk losing our Prey trademark, and that is not acceptable. Unfortunately, that's how the law works," end quote.
Now, this isn't the first time Bethesda have done this, or ZeniMax have done this, I should say.
Right.
ZeniMax also did this with Notch, creator of Minecraft. He made another game called Scrolls.
Uh-huh.
I remember there being a big kerfuffle about the term Scrolls.
I didn't see this... Like, I love Bethesda. We all love Bethesda.
Love Bethesda.
Now, this
I
might
almost
not...
wore a Dishonored shirt when I came in here.
Yeah.
I haven't liked that game. I just like the shirt.
But this might be more from ZeniMax instead of Bethesda itself anyway.
Well, ZeniMax being the parent company,
I don't know how I feel about being able to trademark single words.
No, so Trademarking is interesting. So trademarking works in the same way as you can't, if they release a game, if they release something in the same vein, and it's potential copyright, its potential could affect their trademark, right? So if we own the trademark for the Pop Culturist, right, we would own the trademark under that name for anything games related, any entertainment or games related, right?
Yeah, I get that.
So if someone else pops up with the name the Pop Culturist, but with a, say there's a space between pop and culturist, like if we had the trademark, we could be like, you are infringing on what we do.
Yeah, for sure. But this
because you are literally doing the exact same thing as we are. You're in the same field.
In the same field, yeah, but single words.
No, but it's the same thing. It's in the same field. Now, no, I think this is a little bit too far in the way of, I doubt, like, Prey and a Shadow of the Colossus inspired game are not the same game. Like, there is no confusion about the meaning of
those
two. This is
a little indie studio as well. The games are Kickstarted. So, apparently, like, it's just a spelling. They just added an A into Prey and everything's cool. But it's like Call of Duty. If there's a game called, you know, Duty to the Mother, are they going to oppose it because it has Duty in it?
No,
like, it's the same fucking word.
If Activision sued whoever created Call of Juarez, you know what I mean? Like on PS3. But like they're two different games. One's a shooter and one's a Western. Yeah, like one's a Western
but
game.
The same thing with, you know, the Elder Scrolls and Notch's Scrolls, which was like a card game or something. Like, yeah. There's no...
But see, it's a card game though. See, but the thing here is, right, that now that we have information and we know that there's such thing as the Elder Scrolls Legends, right? The card game.
Is there?
Maybe it's... I don't know. Maybe there's some preemptive thinking there that we didn't know about a couple of years ago.
Yeah, maybe. I don't like the whole, you can't use this word in your game because we have that word in our game. Don't like it at all.
Yeah, that from an outside point of view, but if we find someone else on the internet called the Pop Culturists...
Yeah. This to me is completely
we would
different.
Be uppity.
This is completely different to me, though. This is completely different to me. Anyway,
yeah,
let's agree to disagree. Shake on it.
I agree with you, but I also think those trademarks need, like, this needs to happen. Not this exact example, but these things.
I totally get the point of trademarks for sure. Yeah. I understand what you're saying with, you know, if another pop culture has popped up doing what we do, we'd be pissed. But
shut them down.
You know, but yeah. Anyway, number three. Activision is continuing to support Call of Duty Black Ops 3 with an upcoming content pack called Zombies Chronicles. The content hits PS4 on May 16, with other platforms to follow. Dates for the other versions have not been released by Activision. The pack contains 8 remastered maps from the Call of Duty Zombie Mode franchise.
Awesome.
The word came from Treyarch Studios co-head Jason Blundell during a guest spot on YouTuber JC Backfire Show earlier. The official reveal came via a t-shirt with an explanation
it's
from
a guy standing with a paragraph on his chest.
With an explanation from Blundell following. He calls the Zombie Chronicles a love letter from Treyarch to the COD community. Treyarch is holding a live stream on May 8th to tease out even more details of the Zombie Chronicles.
This makes sense.
This does make sense.
Because Treyarch is the company, or they are the studio that founded Nazi Zombies. Mm-hmm. World at War.
Yeah.
So like it makes perfect sense for them to be able to do the legacy style of thing. Oh, I think it's cool. A great idea. And
With
WW2 coming out in November, so it'll be Infinite Warfare Advanced Warfare. That game was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're still giving support for it? Hell yeah.
I enjoy playing zombies with my son. He's 8.
Sounds like 8. Yeah.
But it's not scary zombies.
Yeah, you have to tell me, like, look, these aren't just zombies. These are Nazi zombies. Yeah, like they stand for everything that you don't.
World War 2?
Like these are buttholes.
Because of them.
Yeah, these are buttholes.
The zombies in particular.
Yeah.
These are the zombies from World War 2.
Yeah, you remember Omar?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what they did to Omar? That's why you want to take him down. No, that's really cool. I'm glad Treyarch is still in the mix for doing more things. Cuz Who's making World War 2?
Sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer. So what's Infinity War doing? They'll be working on...
Infinity War will be on the next one.
Because it used to rotate. Infinity War, Treyarch, and then Sledgehammer's coming at some point.
Yeah.
So then where does...
Okay, so Treyarch did...
I get confused with their Call of Duty.
So Treyarch did Black Ops 3. I have a feeling Sledgehammer did Advanced Warfare. That can't be right.
Here we are in a segment titled Inform the Players.
We have the power of the internet. Hang on.
what
fuck it, I don't care.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah, I hope it's good to see Treyarch is still in mix because I think they've been quiet since Black Ops 3, yeah. Other than a few DLC packs.
And this is the little bump, just to, you know, because people yeah. love the
and
zombies.
A little like a yeah. hat tip, like thank you for supporting.
I think it goes along the same lines of the Call of Duty 4 remaster. It's like they understand where the origins are, where they yeah. you know, where they're from.
Just branching off that, there was a rumored listing on the internet that's since been pulled of Modern Warfare remaster being separated from
Hells
Infinite Warfare.
Yes.
That's now, a rumor at this point.
Dude, every week I always look at the store. I'm like, how much is Advanced Warfare? So
still $100.
Like $100, get the fuck out of here. Because I want the one with the gets me in Infinite Warfare and the COD remaster. Because I want to play the COD remaster.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a rumor that it is like actually right being separated. So that might be an E3 thing, but we'll get to that.
Uh-huh.
Fourth bit of news, Guerrilla Games is adding a new photo mode features so you can snap picture-perfect shot of Aloy in Horizon Zero Dawn. Horizon's photo mode will get 3 new filters, a grid interface, the ability to change Aloy's pose, and more with the 1.20 patch for the game. Guerrilla is also promising on the PlayStation blog that you'll be able to change her facial expressions and have her look towards the camera. That's not all for Horizon's 1.20 update. The PlayStation 4 exclusive will also receive a new camera aim sensitivity slider and additional HUD customization. This patch with the new photo mode enhancements is set to release next week, which will probably be this week when this comes out, for Horizon Zero Dawn, which has sold over 2.6 million copies.
Nice! As long as I can do, like, give her, like, metal hands, like, ugh! Give
she's
her, like...
standing on a Snapjaw's head, like,
give
yeah,
her, like,
you.
Like, yeah, she's, like, takes down, like, the, you know, the big fuck-off thing, yeah. like, big death, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah!
No, I like the waifu pose, like that. Like, yeah. the peace sign
get
and the hand
get
on
the love heart hands.
Yeah.
Get blowing kisses. Give her a salute.
Because this comes off that story of, we talked about in one of the pilot episodes that isn't really released yet, of the guy who made some really high quality GIFs using Horizon's photo mode and recording and got flown to Amsterdam to visit the studio because it was that fucking good.
Yeah.
Deathclaw,
what the hell are they called?
The Charger ones.
Yeah, whatever they're called. Some Deathclaws Fallout. I really need to go back to Horizon.
You do?
Like, I've been distracted by so many other games. But, like, yeah, it kills it, lands, slides towards
it
Aloy.
It was charging at her, and she set up a tripwire, and, you know, she stands there all action solid. It's charging at her, hits the tripwire, and slides along the ground and stops just in front,
yeah,
just next
then
to
ends
her.
With, man, 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 man.
It's cool. You remember when the week Horizon came out, a few of our Facebook groups just flooded. I was in it too. I was putting pictures up.
See,
I took some pictures I'm really proud of.
See, photo mode never jumps out at me any game because I'm not that artistically minded. So
I think I spent a bit of time with it.
I took a lot of screenshots, but I never like fuck around with photo mode.
Yeah, I spent a bit of time with it in The Last of Us and a bit more in Uncharted. Always trying to get that perfect swinging photo. You know when he's Drake swinging between two mountains on a rope. I always just trying to pause it at the right time. And if I missed it, I just fall off the rope and fucking die and try again. And yeah, so I probably spent too long doing that.
You gotta finish that game.
Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
I'm halfway through. I'll get to it. My 8-year-old's finished it. I haven't finished it.
I'm
an idiot. The top PSN games for April 2017 for the US store have been released. At number one, Persona 5.
I feel the Australian ones have been announced. I'm gonna pull them up.
Have they?
Keep talking.
The list was just US and Europe that I saw earlier. Number two, GTA 5. Number three, Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection. Number four, The Last of Us Remastered. That's Naughty Dog. 2 games in the top 5.
Yep.
Technically 4 games in the top 5. Number five, MLB The Show 17. Number six, Rocket League. Number seven, Minecraft. Number eight, Outlast 2. Number nine, Ghost Recon Wildlands. And number 10, Ark Survivors Pack.
Holy crap, Batman Returns Arkham is like $25 on the store.
In the game, that's not relevant.
Allegedly garbage. All right, here we go. So for Australia, this is what they are. On the PS4 list, we've got Sniper Ghost Warrior 3, number 1. Ghost Recon, number 2. Horizon, number 3. Outlast Trinity, number 4. Little Nightmares, number 5.
Ooh.
Grand Theft Auto 5, number 6. Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, number 7. That's my son.
That's your son crying now.
Number 8, Rainbow Six Siege. Number 9, Lego Worlds. Number 10, Dishonored 2.
No, Persona. That that's actually really upsetting.
That came out yesterday. You should probably like...
don't know how I missed that.
Yeah.
Well, Persona's number one in US. So maybe that was just bias.
Sniper Ghost Warrior 3 is interesting.
That is really weird. There was a...
We have a code for that and I still haven't played it yet.
There was a letter... the head developer of Atlus put out a letter just talking about the development cycle of Persona 5 and being really kind of worried about how that's going to translate to the US, and he's been really overwhelmed with how well it's done in the Western countries, so I'm stoked.
But those games all cost money.
They do.
If you want free games for this week...
Month.
Now, we are a week late, of course, just because by the coincidence of that.
We launch when we launch, okay?
Yeah, we launch when we launch. Shut up! I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Please stay.
I'm sorry, baby. You know that.
Please stay and share to your friends. The PS Plus games for May are as follows. There is one difference, which I'll get to as well. Number one for PS4, Tales from the Borderlands, all five episodes. I've said it.
It's downloaded. Before. It's downloaded.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Tales from the Borderlands is the best Telltale game they have ever put out. Hit all the feels. It had me laughing on my couch. Had me sobbing on my couch. It had me cheering on my couch. It had me saying a big fuck you on my couch.
To the couch.
To my couch. Because it's not comfy enough. Second free game. Now, this varies depending on what store you're a part of. In America, you will get Abzu. From the developers of Journey.
I want Abzu so bad.
So Abzu is apparently like an underwater journey.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or something. If you're on the Europe store or the AU / whatever store, it is Alienation from Housemarque.
That's awesome.
That is an amazing game. That was the first video format video game review I ever did for us. It has a lot of special place in my heart. That's an amazing game.
You know what the benefit of that is? Because you got it and reviewed it. Like, we got given a code and I've never played it. Like, I've installed it. It's sitting there, not touched it.
I went back to it last week. It's really hard. I forgot how hard
it is. Should we replay it?
We should. That'd be a fun stream, I think, actually. Cop, yeah? Because it does have some ragdoll physics for laughs,
too. Oh, I love ragdoll physics.
For PS3, you'll get Blood Knights and Port Royale 3 Pirates and Merchants.
Nope, no idea.
For PS Vita, Laser Disco Defenders, cross-buy with PS4. Oh, cool. And Typewriter, also cross-buy with PS4.
See, Typewriter looks like a cool little platformer with, you know, obviously, like, sort of fonts is sort of the key thing. It's looked interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm. I like free stuff.
Yeah.
I've made a point now, because I missed when Rocket League was free. Mm. I didn't download it, and I eventually paid for it. So I've made a point now to download just every game, just in case somewhere down the line I'm like, no, I want to play that. So I did pick up Drawn to Death before it disappeared.
Yep, same.
I think it's... I had fun with it, but... There's not a lot of people playing it, so it can take a while for matchmaking to happen. But when I was in there,
why is no one playing it? I guess, you know. See,
it didn't review well.
And when a review gets like a 7, everyone's like,
no, but it was getting, I think it was getting like 5s.
Oh, shit, really?
4s and 5s. Okay. But from what I played, it was enjoyable, but matchmaking took too long for me to really want to ever go back.
Makes sense.
The last and final bit of news, last and final mean the same thing, so I don't know why I said
it's
both
of
them.
Man.
The PlayStation E3 2017 press conference date and time has been revealed by Sony. Woo! And it falls during the company's usual E3 showcase time. Got a lot of numbers coming at you, so pay attention. PlayStation's E3 media showcase will be held on Monday, June 12 at 6 p.m. PT, 9 p.m. ET, phoning home. June 13 at 2 a.m. BST, bitch standard time. June 13 at 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time for us.
Yep.
The conference will be held in the Shrine Auditorium and Expo Hall in LA, California. Of course, there's no information yet of what the conference is going to be including.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of rumors and a lot of all but officially confirmed things.
There's here's a list of officially confirmed list of
exactly.
Games.
And it's, Every article is like, here's what you'll be seeing at this year's E3. Oh, really? Cool, I'll check it out.
Titty bump in the microphone.
And the articles translate to, here's what I think will be at E3 this week. Yeah.
But like, see, this makes me excited because we're going to be covering E3 as we do the last couple of years.
Yep.
So now that we have the understanding of streaming, we're going to be live streaming our response. Like, we'll be actually watching it live, and that's how we're going to do it.
I remember I watched... PlayStation's press conference live last year, but I was by myself because I don't know what I was doing. I was at my parent. I had just moved into my own house, didn't have internet, so I was at my parents watching it on my dad's PC, and I was by myself and I had no one to share that amazing press conference with. Because I think you were at work.
I have a great story about this.
But yeah, it was such an amazing press conference, and it's hard to react when you're by yourself, if you know what I mean. You know, you kind of go, yes, you know, little things, but if you're with a buddy, you just let it all out. So what's your story?
For me, so I originally tried to take the week of E3 off last year, right, so that we could cover it and have a good time.
Yep.
I ended up, I ended up having to work because I started training for my new role, and they're like, "Hey, you have to take that week.
Hey, we're going
to
increase your pay substantially, but you can't have that week off."
I'm like, "That's fine. I'll, yeah, whatever." But I'm like, so I'm like, "All right, cool." So I did my best. I slept, like, I finished work, slept, woke up, watched all the conferences at like 2-3 in the morning or whatever. Yeah. Horrible week. Really tired.
Mm-hmm.
Then obviously the PlayStation 1 falling at 11 o'clock. I'm in the training room watching it on my phone like this. Like, I've got my little books and shit and sitting there with one headphone in, you know, down the sleeve, being efficient and shit.
So is everyone like quiet and having like the store conference kind of thing, and then you have these little like,
yeah, like I'm sitting here with the headphone in, I'm like, alright, cool, yeah, alright, yeah, cool, alright, yeah, that makes sense. Day's gone, that's interesting, looks really cool. And then it's like, you know, like the crash music, I'm like, what? Like, that was all internal. I'm like, that's what I would have just gone.
You see all the trainers like ringing their ears out.
It's like, oh my god, yeah. This is exciting.
But you like know. The god of the music, the god of war orchestra.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. And then like they announced Arkham VR, and they pissed my pants.
Yeah.
Then they did the Resident Evil announcement. I'm like.
But you couldn't quite react as well because you're in the middle of a training.
Yeah, session. And like
that's
so bummed about that.
But speaking of PlayStation's E3 press conferences,
yes,
that brings us in to a segment we have not yet to name.
So essentially, as I said, we'll have the news, we'll have a main topic, and then we'll finish off with a bunch of questions from the players.
Questions and the drop.
Yeah, and the drop. So go through everything that comes out. So we haven't got a name for this yet. If you can think of a dumb name that has something to do with the players.
Yeah, so like we said earlier, news is inform the players. Question segment will be from the players.
Yep.
We've brainstormed. We can't fucking think of anything. So yep. If anyone wants to help us out, and hell, even if you pitch us a name that we like and we use, you'll be credited.
Yeah. So if you think inform the players is dumb, which it is, and you're like, here's a better name, and I'm like, huh, okay, cool. This is the players by John
by
Batman.
John Batman.
Yeah.
John Batman Wayne.
Yeah. John Batman's a real person.
So let's kick off.
Unlike the real Batman, unlike the cartoon Batman, he killed a lot of people.
He did.
Like, shot him in the face.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on, you keep it flowing.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Bring in shooting people into the PlayStation.
Yeah, so Melbourne was originally called Batmania. Batman, yeah, and that's why there's a Batman, like, street and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he straight up shot a dude in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm waiting for you to segue into the topic.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out how to do it.
You don't know how, do you?
No, I don't know, yeah.
We're here to give our predictions for 2017's Sony's E3 press conference.
Yeah, who would have predicted that Batman shot people in the face?
Mm.
Done. Speaking of predictions.
I saw Batman v Superman. He killed a lot of people.
He killed a lot of fucking...
that's my chance. we have teething problems, we know.
Yeah.
So... this year, PlayStation E3.
Okay, so we just wanted to have an open discussion about what we think.
Just
will be appearing.
We don't have to go through everything we've already seen. Mm. Just kind of what we hope to see based on what we already know.
Okay. This is what I think we're going to see. Now, whether I want to see them or not, that's different, right? Okay. I hope that we see a bit more of Days Gone, or at least get a release date for Days Gone.
I think we will definitely get a release.
I think we have to get a release date for Days Gone, and I do think that'll either be the end of this year or early next year.
You think like the mid-ish November title?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And then on top of that, speaking of release dates, we'll get God of War.
I want God of War to have the Horizon release date slot at the start of March.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think God of War will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. They'll show a little bit more gameplay, maybe a nice cinematic.
Yep.
With Days Gone, I think they'll show more about the character, show like a little cinematic explaining mm-hmm. who this guy is and why you should give a shit.
Yep.
God of War will come with a bit more of a cinematic, showing more of the overall story rather than the two characters.
Yeah, and like I said, PlayStation.
Sorry, I'm right at the tip of being sick. Yeah. I'm like literally on the cusp. Mm.
So PlayStation have taken to this thing of having that. What season is it for them in March over there?
That would be winter. It's spring-ish?
Spring.
Yeah.
They've been releasing
March
a big,
or spring. Yeah,
yeah, a big title in March, which has. In the past worked out for them. It definitely worked with Horizon. Even with the Switch releasing 2 days later, Horizon has still sold 2.5 million.
But the downside is a lot of those games that come out in March or around about there have always been because of delays from the November period.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think it would be smart to gun to get God of War for that month.
Yeah.
I would like to see that very, very much.
Yeah, so like I think that would be the case. I think God of I think Days Gone and God of War mm-hmm. will have that two interchangeable dates. If one's in all, if one's later this year, the other is in the early of next year.
I'm thinking they are either going to open or close the conference with a lot more information on The Last of Us 2.
I disagree. I think they for a fan service, yes, but I think that game is still way too far out to.
It definitely is, but they don't care how far out it is. You know, it's all it's all about one-upping the competition. And, you know, we've already, like last year, we saw stuff on Death Stranding, despite it being 3 or 4 years away, which we probably won't see anything this year, I think.
I think we will, but I don't want to.
I don't want to either, but that's just the way they do things, yeah? So I don't think it's a stretch to see more info on The Last of Us 2. I don't think that's out of the ballpark at all. Not dates, not gameplay, but there will be more information on The Last of Us 2.
I think there might be a little bit more about maybe about the story. They maybe might do some like Dev Diary garbage, which no one likes anyway, because it doesn't make sense. But everyone gives a shit about Naughty Dog. Like, Naughty Dog's great.
I like Dev Diaries.
So, but, you know, at an E3 conference, you don't want to watch Dev Diaries.
There is just, side topic, there is on YouTube, there's a 3-part series, The Making of The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. It's all behind the scenes, you know, you get one-on-ones with Neil Druckmann and everyone, Troy Baker, you get to see them in the mocap and doing all that. Incredible, incredible. Awesome. Definitely worth watching.
What else am I thinking? I think...
Because Crash will be out...
Crash will be out...
A couple weeks later.
So I think Crash will be quiet, unless they're linking... Unless they're bringing something back like Spyro or something, sort of running off the hype of Crash.
Maybe.
Which I think is unlikely. Because Spyro didn't really have the same drive.
So we know, like, from last year's E3 conference, we know their rough slate of big games for the next few years. You know, you've got The Last of Us, you've got Death Stranding, you've got God of War, your Days Gone. You know, they're all big titles that seem to be scattered out throughout the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
What about PSVR? Because to me, this is just to me, I don't own a PSVR, you do.
Yes.
This, what we see on PSVR this year... will pretty much tell the story of what they think of it and how it's going to be for the rest of its life cycle. Whether they push it to the side and kind of just do the highlight reel like they did last... They did had a bit more in the last year, but it was a highlight reel as well. If we don't see a lot on PSVR this year, that to me will say what you have now is what it's going to be. It's not going to get any bigger than what you have now. Whereas if they do a bit of a push on it, that says to me... No, they have a lot more plans and a lot more faith in it. Because they've right now, and there's a lot of buzz just between our friend circles and on the internet, it does seem to maybe be kind of going the way of the Vita. Not as dramatic, but it does have that kind of vibe to it at the moment.
I disagree. I think unlike... So the Vita was essentially the successor to the PSP, right? PSP did fucking gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And they went a little bit too far with, you know... And I think it was just bad timing with the Vita, right? As in, it's a handheld console that was really quite overpowered. So it was really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Proprietary, you know, the cards, like, that's an extra expense again.
Oh, fucking the worst.
You know, that in conjunction with phones getting more powerful, like, no one saw the need for this, right?
DS was at its peak still at that time.
Yeah, DS was kicking ass, and it was like, you can get console experiences on the go. Oh, played footsies.
Footsies, hey.
But there's a console experience on the go. People don't want console experiences on the go at the time. Now with Switch says everyone's like, give me console experiences.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, right? So that's where it kind of floundered. VR is a little bit different. VR is a whole different beast, right? VR is potentially where the future can be.
Definitely.
However, with the adoption rate of the PSVR is solid compared to like Oculus and Vive, but
it's accessible,
so every like it sold noticeably more units than the other two, right,
combined. I think maybe combined,
so they'd be silly to give it away. As in, they'd be silly to stop doing it. I think we'll get a couple of big announcements, but with nothing coming out in the the nearest future.
See,
people are still growing teeth. There's growing problems, and there's all these issues there's all these issues with developing VR games, right?
Yeah.
Like, we've seen that now. Outside of Resident Evil, which did have some clunky moments, like, there's not been one entirely flawless VR game.
Yeah, and this is a discussion. I don't remember if we had it on one of, like, these unend episodes or if we had it off camera. I don't remember where we had it, but I brought up the point where, you know, you got 60 million PS4s out in the wild now, and you got 1.5 million VRs.
You're right about.
Which of your big... Because all of Sony's first-party studios are amazing.
Hmm.
which of them do you want to pull off potentially selling 60 million titles and make them do a game for something where there's such a lower install base? Like, you don't want to do that. You don't want to take your resources from big number A to put them on number B, even though it might boost number B a little bit. I just don't see what studio they would want to pull off the console to push on.
Yeah, but the
VR.
Same thing, like, this is the same example for that is what Nintendo are currently doing now with the Switch and the DS, right? They're not committing to the Switch being a thing. Well, they are, but they also don't want to sacrifice the install base over here with the DS, right? So they're like, we're still making, don't worry, we're still making 3DS games. Switch is where we want to go, but we're still making 3DS games.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. I think they certainly, I do think that they want to do more VR stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'd be silly of them not to, because people that spent, you know, $500 or something.
I definitely would be silly for them not to.
You know, and I think that's, I think it's important, because I think all they need is to give people a reason to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's people that have come over to my, that come over here and they've jumped on it and they've tried it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I need to get this. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, look, hang on, look, have a look. So these are all the games that I have. Cause, you know, once again, luckily Sony sent us a bunch of games. So we've been able to
experience
a ton of them without spending a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that advantage where a lot of people look at them and like the price of the game are quite high. Obviously, once again, low install base, so the price is a little bit jacked to try and clear that over.
You know, we got our Farpoint out soon, which has a fair bit of buzz behind
it.
But yeah, I think what we see of VR at E3 this year will pretty much let you know what it's going to be like going forward.
Yeah.
Where Sony is at with it exactly.
I think even if it's something as simple as not saying, hey, I think it's if they're just like, hey, these are some big franchises that are getting some cool shit. Mm. Or like, these are some really cool new IP that we have. We may not have a date for them yet, but they're coming. Yeah. Because I think that's important.
Just at least let people know what's going on.
We've looked at the drop for, you know, every week, you know, for as long as we can, as long as we have, right?
Yeah.
There's always a VR game.
There's always one or two.
So there's never a drought of games.
Yeah.
But people are like, oh, there's no games to play because they're looking for the bigger games, right?
Because I don't.
But these little games are, so they're cutting their teeth. They're finding how the best way to play VR is. So when the time the big guys come in, they've done all this research is already done.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's a solid theory. We'll see how it pans out.
Do you reckon we'll see some things from, say, Media Molecule with Dreams?
Well, going back onto VR,
that would make sense.
Dreams VR.
That'd make sense.
It runs off the tongue, for starters. It sounds nice. Dreams VR.
Hmm.
I think it would make the perfect game to be on VR. To really give VR that
creative space and a full three-dimensional creative space.
Because you've seen Google have something, I forget what it is, but you put the VR mask on and you're in like a black room, that's what you're seeing, and you get like your Vive controller maybe, it's like a paintbrush, and you just do your 3D drawings and stuff. Looks fucking awesome! So if you could do something similar to that with Dreams, you know, create your own worlds and levels in the VR headspace, I think that would be really cool.
Mm.
If we don't see anything of Dreams at E3 this year, I don't even know what to think.
I just assume that game's done.
But we assume it's done. Like, you know, but you know,
but done as in not finished, but done as in gone.
Yeah, but they'd have to say something. Like, you look how long Final Fantasy 15 was in development, and how long The Last Guardian was in development. It's not a stretch to think it could take that fucking long, but I would like to see Dreams VR.
Mm.
That's what I would hope is their big VR announcement.
Sucker Punch? Sucker Punch is out of the key first parties, they've been the quietest for the longest.
What do you think?
See, like, this is like,
think,
this
like,
is why I don't work in games development, right? Because I don't have the ability to be like, I want them to do this. I want them to use the skill sets that they have to make this game. For me, I'm like, I don't know what that. They'll, like, tell me what you want me to play. Yeah. They're like, this is what our idea. I'm like, I like
Sucker Punch.
Infamous. Infamous is great. Like, Infamous Second Son's really solid. It's a little bit. But like, there are moments where that game is just peak awesome.
Exactly. Once you unlock all your powers, it's such a great time just going throughout the city and just fucking shit up. And the story.
I guess you play the evil way.
Yeah,
I the good way.
And the story was decent. It was above average, at least. I thought the story was better than Infamous 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I liked Cole as a protagonist, but the story
Dalson was pretty good.
Yeah, but I liked Dalson. How he's that rebel, like, you tag shit and you make funny billboards. Like,
that was cool.
It was like, lighthearted.
That was cool use of the PS4 things, like the six axis and the touchpad.
And First Light was good. It was pretty good as well. I enjoyed that. But I don't know if I'd like to see another one.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to see them do something else, but I don't know what.
Because, you know, Infamous is open world to an extent. You're kind of locked to an island at a time, in a way. But I'm kind of also hitting that open world fatigue as well. I kind of don't want any more. I'm preferring more linear kind of stories at the moment. Just put me in, let me put it on easy, and let me fucking get through the story. Okay? Because I do have a bit of OCD completionist as well. But another big title we didn't mention in when we were talking about exclusives for the next few years is Spider-Man.
Yeah, I would like to see... I still don't think that might not be this year, but I think... Or it could be sneakily further along than we know. I think we will see more of it. I think we'll get more of the main... What the main story is. Maybe some villains.
We don't know the villains yet, do we? No. We didn't see that in the trailer. Because the trailer did look pretty good. And I'm just hoping they don't try to rush it to get it out with the Homecoming movie.
I don't think so, because the Homecoming movie comes out more like August, yeah?
Yeah.
No, not chance.
Yeah.
Not chance.
No, I don't want that.
What else we got? So let's look at some second party...
Mm-hmm.
exclusives, right?
For PlayStation.
Or even third-party exclusives. So not third-party exclusives. There's third-party games, right? So we've got... We know that Call of Duty has once again got the deal, the marketing deal with PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be there. I think we'll get some cool trailers and shit. as far as I'm aware, Battlefront might be in the same boat.
Exclusive PS4 content.
So marketing and exclusive PS4 content.
So you mean PS4 get Sony get to reveal it at E3 instead of Microsoft?
I think so. Because you know there is the marketing agreement is there, and if you look at all the advertisements for Battlefront 2, there's the PlayStation thing at the front and the end. I think Rockstar are allegedly in the same deal for Red Dead Redemption 2. Mm-hmm. I think we do need to see more Red. I think we need to see something about Red Dead.
Yeah,
I'd like
because there's been no.
There's rumors for the last like two, like E3 and PSX.
Yeah,
that they would do something with Resident Evil with Red Dead.
Yeah, they also mentioned Bully at some point too, didn't they?
Oh, Bully to our paper pants.
Would you like a small subset of Rockstar?
That's the rumor mill right now.
Yeah, would you like a small subset of Rockstar to be doing Bully? The rest of them do Red Dead.
Yeah,
because I played Bully with you. We streamed.
We played it for like five, ten minutes while something was installing.
It seemed cool. You could see the influence that GTA now has coming from Bully.
Totally play that today, probably.
Probably good.
Well, pray. Just a mix of things.
Yeah. I don't want my dog to piss in my house.
We'll stream for the next 6 hours. It'll be fine.
You know, I don't want to clean. We'll get Ellie out the dog out of my carpet. I'm giving her my key. Ellie is Ryan's sister. For those uninformed. What else? That's pretty much covers everyone.
Yeah. Look, it's in terms of like I feel.
No. Actually.
Okay.
Are they going to do how if? And why are they going to address the Scorpio?
That was going to be my final thing. Yeah, but like I said, I think Kojima will be there with Death Stranding again. And the rumor mill
another
is
another ambiguous trailer.
Yeah, the rumor mill is he'll be there announcing that Emma Stone's part of it.
That'd be great.
And I'll piss my pants.
I'm a big fan of Emma Stone.
I'll wee myself so hard.
It's her voice that gets me. Yeah. Not even her look. She's pretty.
She's stunning.
But I like the husky voice. It's really true. But yeah, Scorpio. So I think...
This is something we've discussed in a previous... unreleased video as well.
Yeah, we had that as the main focus of the topic. I just want just quick thoughts on the Scorpio. I don't think they need to address it at all.
Yeah,
I think their marketing message again should just be, "This is where the good fucking games are."
Yeah, I certainly agree. I don't think they need to come out and be like, "Well, you know," because they were touting the PS4 Pro as the most powerful console ever for a while.
It was at the time.
At the time, and it still is until the Scorpio comes out.
Mm.
I think they'll be like, hey, I think if they're humble about it, not humble, but if they're honest about it in the same way of, we're not the most powerful console anymore, but where do people play their games? Who has the largest install base right now? Yeah. It's us.
Who has the exclusives?
Regardless of power, people are playing here.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, because we are for the players.
Yeah. Cue our intro music. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think it... Not to actually address it in that way, but just a little side comment, you know.
Well, because we've known they've done that digs in the past. Like, this is how you trade games in the PS4. Here you go. Thanks, man. You know, with Adam Boy's the shoe, right?
That was good, actually.
So, I think if they do a little bit of tongue in cheek shit like that, that might be enough to stiff up the competition a little bit.
But that should still be their point. It worked for them last year, it worked for them in 2015. And still, this is for the players. This is where the games are.
Mm.
And this is how they look. They look fucking great. Where else are you going to go?
Yeah. I still think in the same boat of last year, it's just games.
Exactly.
You know,
now they don't even have to think about the Pro.
Mm.
They don't have to think about pushing it or marketing it. It's just games.
Yeah.
Maybe a price drop?
I think it'd be important if they announce a price drop to the PS4.
Yeah.
Maybe in the Pros a little bit. So I try to get the little bit of
tickets. I will pick up a Pro at some point.
Yeah, I think if you do, if they do drop like 50-60 bucks,
I might be pushed to do it.
I think you'd be tempted.
Yeah. Plus, that'll coincide with tax time.
And so your PS4 is crazy loud.
It is crazy loud. That's why it's on its way out.
But that's enough about that topic.
Yeah.
We reached out to our friends and listeners.
Which this segment does have a name.
It does. What's it called?
We're moving on to the segment titled From the Players, where we answer your questions that you send to us. You can send us questions via facebook.com/popculturist.
And the Facebook group.
And our Facebook group, which you may join.
Facebook.com/group/popculturist.
Twitter at popculturistau. Email at mail@thepopculturist.com. Or just comment on this YouTube video.
Yeah, we'll always go through this. Now, first things first, we'll go with our buddy Zach, who is from the website Do You Even Game Bro? Solid website.
I do.
Very,
Zach.
Very good friend.
I do Game Bro.
His question is, do you think that Sony made the right move by not supporting backwards compatibility?
Ooh, this is a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Okay, so like clearly he's talking about physical like disc backwards compatibility, right?
Yep.
So with PS Now, which we don't have in Australia anyway, so and like they have the PS2 Classics. I think he's talking about, you know, in the same way that Xbox has, right? Where you can
put the disc in, download the game,
and it fucking works.
Right.
What's your thoughts?
I think, yes, I did make the right decision by not doing that.
Mm.
Because that, to me, it reinforces that they don't need to do that because what they currently have on the system is good enough and well above average of what should be expected.
Mm-hmm.
I think Microsoft have done that because they recognize their library is sorely lacking in titles, so it's just something else. Meanwhile, if the feature was there, fucking cool. No worries, I'll take it. But I think they did make the right decision by not pushing it and not doing it right out of the gate.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Backwards compatibility on paper always seems like such a really, really cool idea. And the amount of times that I go back and play old games is very few and far between.
My dad's PS4 was one of the first lineup which does have backwards compatibility.
What?
The very first PS4 had backwards compatibility.
Not with PS3.
That was a PS3.
The first PS3 has backwards. Did that was That's like the 60-gig PS3.
Yeah, but when did he ever put a PS2 game in his PS3? Never.
Mm.
Never. Now, there are times where I do think I would like to play Red Dead.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get out the PS3 and I don't want to fuck with the cables and behind the TV and all that shit. But if I wanted to, I still could because I still have the PS3. I think, yeah, the messaging is clear without them saying anything about it. It's just, we have enough games. We have enough coming out.
But I don't even think it's that. Like, one of the biggest problems the PS3 had was with the architecture of the console, right?
Mm.
With that cell processor, it made games incredibly hard to develop for. And being able to replicate that on the PS4 may be more difficult than we think it is.
Yeah.
Like the Xbox has always been somewhat of a PC, right? It's built with that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So in between the 360 and Xbox One, it's essentially the same shit, just amped upgraded up, right? Pumps. So like, and Xbox, so Microsoft having to make that decision to sort of be a gesture of goodwill, mm-hmm. be able to get people back on their side, right? But like, it's not as simple as just making it a function that's possible.
No. But yeah, I don't think PlayStation are losing anything from not doing it. And I'm glad they didn't, because I also like to keep my old consoles. So if it had backwards compatibility, I need to keep my
PS3. Well, true. I've got my PS2 back there. That PS3 is fried. Got the yellow light of death on that bad boy.
Still have it.
I've got my good PS3s down there.
Yeah. Short answer, yes. I'm glad they did not push it.
Let's see what we've going on. Okay, so this is another question. We've got three questions. We'll go two from Zach and one from another.
Yep.
So Zach's question is, if you could sum up PlayStation's dominance this generation with a movie title, what would it be?
Okay, well,
Dante's Peak. Because they're high up.
Cliffhanger. looking at your setup with the PSVR, I'd say the cable guy.
Hey! There are so many cables. I think if they were smart, they'd make a parody movie. Maybe you could stab at Xbox called Dude Where's My Exclusives.
Instead of Dude Where's My Car.
Yeah.
Dude, where's my exclusive? Over there, where? Over there, where?
And then,
and then nothing, because we don't have any.
Yeah, or they could just do it in the same vote. You know, instead of finding Nemo, just finding exclusives.
Ouch!
Just stabbing it in Xbox right now. I don't know why. I'm trying to think of like
the other exclusives movies. King, instead of Lion King.
Oh damn shit! Yeah, or just the King.
Is that a movie?
Oh, no, the King's Speech, and it's like, Shuhei kicking off. I got an idea. Yes.
One last one. To sum up PlayStation's dominance this generation, The Godfather.
Oh! nice one. I was going to say Ace Ventura Pet Detective, but that's...
What?
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Next question. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Because we've got to wrap that one up nice and quickly, I'm going to go with... Yeah, we'll go with this one. So, Josh Anderson, lovely, lovely dude, has asked the question... So there's a bit of a reading. Will Sony make a new PlayStation camera to improve the VR on the full room movement aspect? The Vive allows for full room movement, while the PSVR has limitations with it. Could Sony make a new camera that hooks up around the play area to fix the full room movement aspect of VR? As an idea, four boxes with the cameras in them. They are connected with long cables and USB, so it can be placed at the four sides of the room.
If they did, the new movie title would be The Cable Guy Part 2.
Because Cable era.
See, my dad is an avid gamer. He has a PSVR. He had a Oculus Rift DK1 and DK2.
Yep.
And now he has a HTC Vive. Now, he's got... Luckily for him, he's got a room big enough where he can have the cameras mounted to the roof. There's no cables. They're all through. He's an electrician as well. Looks schmick. Yeah, fine. He's fine, but... I don't know. Like, you have the VR. You have the PSVR. Does that seem important to you to have that 360? Because what's the... Like, explain the issue now. Is that you got the camera... What? You got the camera on the front of your TV. Mm-hmm. So if you turn around, it's not tracking the controller anymore.
Okay,
is that right?
Like, the way the PSVR works, right? It's all about the camera picking up the colored lights of the hat and the moves,
so obviously,
right?
If you turn more than maybe 90 degrees to the left or right...
There are lights on the back, so it understands when you've gone 180, right? There are moments in Batman VR where you literally have to turn around.
Okay.
And that's fine. But the move controllers, right? So if you turn around and your body is between you and the move controller, like so the camera and the controller...
Okay, it loses track.
You lose your hand.
Okay. Do you think it's... what are your thoughts on that maybe being a thing in PSVR 2.0?
I think that would be a really cool idea to be able to have that room dynamic.
Do you think that would jack the price up more, though?
It depends on how they do the cameras. Like, if the cameras are like just little square things like this, right? You know, say they're about, 10 by 10. And then you can just kind of have one or the other in the house. But the downside is, people don't already have enough space to play a lot of VR titles, right? Mm. So, having to wire more... Look, in paper... Fuck yeah. It's going to it'll make a better VR experience. Yeah. I would much rather they spent that time and tech into making new moves.
Okay. So
because these moves are janky as shit.
Yeah.
Like, I want ones with maybe multiple triggers so you can get more of a hand movement.
If you have a move in one hand and a Vive controller in the other, the Vive controller is incredible.
Yeah. Like, it better tech. There's there's a grip button so you can pick up some grip.
It's new tech. Because, with the Vive, you get, when you're in your, that's rain. That's heavy rain.
Oh, the sky's just opened.
What the fuck was I saying? When you're in your room and you got your headset on because of all the camera multi-tracking, and you're in your playroom, that's like the lobby where you're choosing your games and all that, you get a grid around you. This is how far you can walk before you smack into shit. In all directions. That's cool. Because I know when you play VR here, you move everything.
See, I'm really,
you move this back just
I'm
to
really
make sure
quite
you have
lucky.
Enough room.
The way I've... the way our lounge room set, we have one of those sweet L couches, right?
Yeah.
So the actual read distance is the corner of the couch and then it's whatever the rug covers.
Okay.
By pure coincidence.
Nice.
So you step out, if your foot goes off the rug, you're out of the area.
Yeah.
And it knows, because the floor feels different, and then obviously shit goes up. So that's really kind of funny. You play barefoot, you can kind of work it where you are.
Yeah.
But not everyone's that lucky.
So you would like to see it, but you'd rather move controllers.
Yeah, without a doubt. Sorry, just punch you in the knee. Mm-hmm. I would much rather they focus on the move, or they find a way, or they make a new breakout box that's HDR supported, so that I don't have to constantly unplug and plug if I want. One of the biggest problems that stopped me from playing the VR is the fact that I can't just pick it up and put it on. I've got to fuck around with cables. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not fun.
Yeah, no, but... Well, those are our questions from the players this week.
Mm.
You can send yours in to us with the sites I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, all links are in the description.
All links will be in the description of the video, so you don't have to go back and listen to me say it again. Mm-hmm. Fumble through it again,
because
I'm not used to saying it.
That's true.
But that's not the last segment of the show.
Speaking of fumbling, so that's all the things we've talked about this week, but there are more things happening this week, like a bunch of games that are coming to the PlayStation Store that you might want to put your hard-earned money down
in a segment I have just titled, The Future of the Players.
That's going to get renamed.
We didn't have anything. Just let me have it for this show. This is the drop from the PlayStation blog for the week commencing.
As always, a bunch of games I give a dick
the
about.
The 8th of May. Not all of them.
Okay.
Not all of them. First game. We got 18 games, by the way, so this is a pretty big list. ACA Neo Geo The King of Fighters 95. The King of Fighters 95 is a fighting game, thank you, released by SNK in 1995. I gathered that from the title. In addition to the fan favorite fighters from Fatal Fury and The Art of Fighting, Yagamian joins the battle as a rival of the main character, Kyo Kusanagi.
Man, these Neo Geo games are getting like some well...
Every week there's a new ACA Neo Geo game.
The Nintendo Switch is 90% Neo Geo at the moment.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Birthdays, the beginning, PS4, digital, and retail. From legendary creator Mr. Yasuhiro Wada comes Birthdays, the beginning.
Oh,
sandbox game where you shape the world and give rise to diverse and unique life forms. Kind of sounds like Spore. Experience as you please and witness the birth of an entire ecosystem.
Spore went really well.
Sounds like Spore.
The demo, cool. Apparently, so I might check that out.
I really enjoyed Spore, actually, back in the day. Blades and Bones, PS4 digital. A combat-driven Metroidvania experience. Discover a tale long lost in our past. Seven swords need to be found in this world where you will discover ancient secrets and fight with an intense combat system that rewards players for their skills and knowledge. Should have been another full stop in there somewhere.
Or a comma, at least.
A coma. Put the riders in a coma. Bloons TD5 PS4 digital. 5-star tower defense with an unrivaled depth and replayability. The Bloons are back, and this time they mean business.
I've seen that picture before, but I have no idea what they are. Is it an iPhone thing?
A mobile game, maybe?
Maybe.
Tower defense is a bit. Build awesome towers, choose your favorite upgrades, and hire cool new special agents, and pop every last invading balloon.
Sounds good.
Butcher.
Oh shit, that's a great
PS4
picture.
Digital. This sounds cool. Butcher is a fast-paced 2D shooter and love letter to the cult classics of the genre. As a cyborg programmed to eradicate the last remnants of humanity, your sole purpose is to annihilate anything that moves.
Hells yeah, that's
including the fluffy bunnies. Demon's Crystals PS4 digital. Demon Crystals is a frenetic twin stick shooter where you guide the Yurikan demons through countless hazards in order to restore peace to the world. The Yurikan have always been at the top of the food pyramid, but one day three mysterious beings arrived, causing the once peaceful inhabitants of the world to become aggressive and destructive.
Awesome, I guess.
Elliot Quest. This character looks like Aloy a little bit.
That's copyright infringement.
PS4 digital. Elliot can't die, but he's still running out of time. In Elliot Quest, the victim of a rare curse must find a cure before he's transformed into a demon.
Oh, cool.
Hey Ryan, check this one out. Harvest Moon, Save the Homeland, the PS2 game.
The PS2 classic.
PS4 digital. Your goal is to successfully save your family's farm and the surrounding village from being turned into a resort. Constructions begin in a year, so you have your work cut out for you. But don't worry, if you earn the friendship and trust of the villagers, they will be sure to lend you a helping hand.
Woo!
So if you are new to listening to us and consuming our content, Ryan is a big fan of Life Sims, we discovered.
Yeah, man.
Going all the way back to Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon Back to Nature on the PS1.
Which you still play to this day.
That's like my Vita staple.
Your Vita staple.
Harvest Moon.
You're also eagerly awaiting Stardew Valley on the Switch.
God, I can't wait. Harvest Moon, which one's that?
Save the Homeland.
Now, I never played Save the Homeland. I played A Wonderful Life on PS2.
Mm-hmm.
The game was a bit clunky. I went back and played it a couple months ago. Pretty clunky.
Well, I'm sure that it's in the drop. There's probably a trailer out now, which you could check out.
I'm keen as shit.
We'll check it out after this.
Keen as shit.
Human Fall Flat, PS4 digital. This game looks fun. This game looks really fun. Yeah, I think it's on Steam. Human Fall Flat is a quirky, open-ended, physics-based puzzle and exploration game set in the floating dreamscapes. Your goal is to escape these surreal dreams by solving puzzles with nothing but your wits and physics. It's ragdoll physics.
Cool.
And it's fucking hilarious.
I'm in.
Faceless people that just like ragdoll about, because I think when you walk, like they walk like this. It looks like a lot of fun. My son watched a Let's Play of it a few weeks ago. I thought this is really funny. We laughed together on the couch. It was quite beautiful.
We're friends.
Best friends. Last Stitch Goodnight, PS4 digital. After surviving a near death, out of body experience, you are kidnapped by a doctor who is experimenting on people who satisfy certain criteria.
Oh.
Escaping the doctor's laboratory will require new weapons, new powers, a strong stomach for facing science gone bad. That actually sounds interesting.
That
sounds
cool.
Lethal League, PS4 digital. Lethal League is a competitive projectile fighting game where you have to hit an anti-gravity ball into the face of your opponent to win. The ball speeds up with every strike to up to explosively extreme velocities. Play locally or battle it out online. Loco Roco Remastered, PS4 digital. The peaceful world of Loco Roco are under attack by the not-so-nice Mojo Corp. These evil outer space creatures have come to take the Loco Roco from their land of blowing flowers, lively creatures, and pastel scenery. You must move the Loco Roco through more than 40 levels of slippery slopes, teetering platforms, and maze-like passages.
I remember that. I never... Because I didn't have it. I actually got my PSP after my Vita. So, all I remember from the PSP was like that. Like just marketing.
I remember marketing. I was working in retail outsold games at the time, and it was just Loco Roco everywhere. But I never played it though, because it seemed a bit childish at the time. And I was like a cool teenager, and I'd play those blue fucking shooty games. Now I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll play it.
I'm like, is that, can I play Harvest Moon again?
Moonshot Galaxy PSVR digital.
Yeah.
Moonshot Galaxy is a VR game like no other.
Oh shit.
Play your way through planetary challenges in exotic branches of the galaxy at your own pace. Designed for comfort, anyone can pick it up and play, though reaching the top of the leaderboards will put your skills to the test.
Cool.
NBA Playgrounds PS4 digital. Classic NBA arcade action is back. Take your A game to the playground and beat the best in high-flying 2-on-2 basketball action. Practice your skills offline, play with up to 3 players on your PS4, or take your talents online to posterize your opponents with acrobatic jams and ridiculous displays.
Remember, this one is a little bit more like NBA Jam and shit, like on the old SNES.
Yeah.
SNES.
Yeah. It's like a side-scrolling, but the court's like Battletoad, like yeah. Style framing. Funny story, this actually accidentally released this week that we're recording for a couple of hours, and people downloaded it and played it. Like someone's accidentally hit the upload button.
People are quick shit. You know, people are like, really. What? Oh, crap.
It's like, hey, this game was up for 13 minutes. It's like, yeah, I finished it.
You got it.
Another PSVR title, Polybius. PS4 VR.
Polybius?
I think it's Polybius.
Polybius?
Polybius is the latest trance shooter from creators of Tempest 2000 and TXK LlamaSoft.
It's a trance shooter, right?
Oh, it's not. Oh. I nearly went the wrong way with that conversation. Trans shooter.
No, the guns and the explosions, but to like a really sick beat.
I see more. I'm not going to get into it.
Cool.
Resident Evil Code Veronica X, the PS2 classic, PS4 digital. Raccoon City was just the beginning. Claire and Chris Redfield's nightmare continues as the siblings fight to survive against zombies and other monstrosities within Umbrella's deadly facilities. Explore the mysterious Rockfort Island facility and the freezing Antarctic base for clues exposing the Umbrella Corporation's sordid goals and the truth behind the mysterious and unsettling Ashford twins.
Almost there.
Revenant Saga, PS4, PS3, PS Vita, digital.
Vita!
Becoming a revenant and find the truth behind revenge in this gothic fantasy RPG with stunning 3D battles. After being turned into an immortal being known as a revenant and learning of the existence of a demon within him, Albert seeks out on a journey to make the person who did this to him pay with their very life. Hey, you made me immortal. Fuck you.
Oh.
Actually, it's pretty cool. Thanks, man.
Your life's not so bad.
The last 18th and final game for this week, Strafe, PS4 digital. Strafe is a roguelike first-person shooter pushing the limits of computer-generated photorealism and hardcore sci-fi action into unimaginable territory.
Sure it isn't.
It's a good description for one sentence. Yeah, solid description. That's a lot of information and big words. That's a really
good description.
It's a solid sentence. I wish all of them were just one.
All right, what's your picks?
Sentence. My picks. I'm interested in Resident Evil, kind of.
Yeah?
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. Polybius sounds cool. Like I like the music, like the music shooters things. Yeah, it kind of really gets you into it. And I'll probably try out Loco Roco at some point too.
Yeah, my answer's pretty easy. Half Moon. To no surprise.
Oh, and Human Fall Flat. Yeah.
I'm always going for more Half Moon.
Human Fall Flat would make a fun stream game too, I think. It does just look like the lighthearted, fun kind of game.
Even just the benefit of how they sold Strafe at the end. I'm like,
all right. That sounds good.
Well done. Good. Everyone else can't say shit in a paragraph, and you've nailed it in one sentence. Yeah,
well done.
Amazing. Speaking of being unable to nail it in one sentence. That has been For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast.
Episode one.
Thank you for joining us. Like, you sat here the whole long, the whole time. You've listened on your devices and your things and such.
So there's a pretty big rundown of what we do and where you can get it, because this is not just a YouTube video, but also obviously an audio podcast.
So you do all that shit. Yeah.
So you say it because I don't know.
Beautiful. So we have made the decision to have these our shows be audio podcasts as well. So they'll be hitting all the places that you expect. We're expecting iTunes, Stitcher, what's the other one? Spotify. I'll put on the Spotify's as well, maybe.
Podomatic?
People like Spotify. Yeah, Podomatic, nah.
Well, you got to decide.
We don't need Podomatic now. We can host that shit ourselves.
We can. But you literally, you're doing it. Like, this has to be up in 2 days. So you need to decide where you want to put it.
Yeah, put it on the website. Done. Oh, yeah.
The website's not live.
Shut up. I need to put the RSS up. But it's because, yeah, so there's all the audio options there. And, of course, we are on YouTube at youtube.com/popculture, which you should know because you're probably watching it there right now. But if you're not, there's a good place as well.
Ooh, that's where you can go.
And all the social medias at facebook.com/popculture. It's a Facebook group at facebook.com/group/popculture. Instagram at popculture. Twitter at popculture. AU.
Why don't we have a Snapchat?
Oh, why don't we have a Snapchat?
Because Snapchat sucks.
Because as far as saying Snapchat was all about sending dicks to each
just
other.
Just be me with the dog photo, the dog filter every day.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, I'm playing this cool game.
See, the difference to what we do now when we're doing a wrap-up compared to what we were doing 2 years ago when we were doing the wrap-up, we just say, yeah, we have Facebook. And now it's like 8 paragraphs of you got here and here and here. We're doing this, we're doing that. It's cool.
It's pretty much, if you put in the pop culturist into anything,
that's
pretty much where you'll find
it. And if we're not there, tell us and we will get there.
Yeah, if we're not there and there's some other jerk and he's infringing on our trademark, I'll fucking hunt him down.
So just remember, when we wrap this up, we need your help naming these segments. I like Inform the Players. I like From the Players. They're lame, but they fit the theme. They're cool. The Future of the Players is fucking garbage. I never want to say that again. And a topic name for the whatever topic we're talking about. That segment.
So thank you very much once again. Please get involved in the conversation. We want to be able to grow this show to be something awesome, something cool, something big. And we can't do it without all you guys.
Please join the Facebook group. We're chatting there every day.
Yeah, she went crazy last night.
Last night was after the stream.
Solid good chats in the Facebook group.
It was good fun.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that has been For The Players.